Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Is what it is, Povich against Crochet. But joining us now to talk about what's going on down on the farm, because we're always looking at the baby birds and the future of this team as they look to get back into the contention realm after this year's disaster. From OrielsHangout.com, Window Nation guest hotline, Tony Pettit. Tony, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right. Let me ask you about Dylan Beavers real quick. Not the bat. I mean, we know that plays. We've seen it here in real time. Defensively, though, and me and Mike Bordick talked about it yesterday on BBT, and me and Nolan were talking about it on Monday. A couple of throws against the Astros on Sunday were like, what the hell was that? When Correa tagged from first to second, and then on a tag play from third, I mean, one even competitive throw, then the misplay in left field, maybe in deference to Gunner charging out, but he looked very Lupus-like, Bad News Bears reference, as the ball fell behind him. I mean, what was his defensive capabilities? Is he a competitive guy? Is this just a tough go of it? Maybe his arm was tired. I mean, what's going on with him defensively here?
Yeah, you know, what I saw with him in the minors was he was a solid defender. He wasn't a guy you're like, oh, God, you know, why he's out there. You know, I think a lot of this is, you know, he hasn't played a ton of left field. I think majority of his time in the minors has been right. I know the Orioles like to play him in all three, play some center field too. He's not a center fielder, but you know, I think sometimes when you go out, people think that you can just go from left to right and it's very easy, and it's not. Ball comes off the bat differently. You get different reads. It's just a different way. Some guys can do it very easily. Other guys can't. And I think some of the struggles we've seen is perhaps the lack of experience in left field. But, you know, again, I think that'll be something that you have to keep an eye on as he moves through. The arm strength, I saw a couple of those throws too, and yeah, they were pretty awful. The weird thing is, you know, he has had a max throw at 91.4 miles per hour this year as well. So he can ramp it up. So I don't know whether the ball slipped or whether he just didn't get a good feel. You know, I don't know. Maybe he lost track of it. Sometimes you can lose track of the cutoff man, and the next thing you know, you're halfway in the middle of a throw, and you're like, oh, there he is, and that could affect the throw. I think we got to see him throw a lot more before we get too concerned, and as you said, it could be a situation where maybe he's got something going on in the arm right now that he just really doesn't want to highlight now that he's getting his major league opportunity.
All right, let's look at a couple of recent number one picks for the Orioles. Enrique Bradfield, 23, Vance Honeycutt last year. Here we are winding down the minor league season of 2025. How close is either one to the majors? We know they're both, you know, plus defensive guys, but are we? I don't want to say disappointments and busts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, what's the holdup, man? College guys, too.
Well, Bradfield's has just been injuries, right? He's had a hard time with his hamstrings of staying healthy and staying on the field. And when he has been on the field, he's been doing quite well. I mean, his last 10 games, you know, he has a .345 batting average. He's got an .872 OPS. He's stealing bases. He's looking like the guy that the Orioles were hoping he would be. So I think now that he's healthy, he's playing. You know, next year I see him at Norfolk. You know, and we'll see how he does up there. You know, I think he is a guy that ultimately still has an upside of being an everyday center fielder in the major league level, but he's got to stay healthy. That's really the issue for me with him is we just got to see him go out and play 100, 145, 150 games a year and stay healthy. And if he is, then I think he's a guy that defensively he's absolutely going to be a plus defensive outfielder. I think he'll hit enough to be able to keep himself in an everyday lineup, but he's not going to be an impact hitter, and that's just the way it's going to be. You know, there's no other way to describe Vance Honeycutt as anything other than a bust. Nobody's going to put the numbers he's put up so far. He can't make contact. He doesn't hit for power. You're talking about this is an entire season of this now. We're not talking about a guy slumped in the very beginning of being Aberdeen. The numbers just tell you the story. He just can't hit professional pitching. And unless he can be completely reworked somehow in the offseason, I think that he's just a miss.
Hey, Tom, what's the latest with Kerstad?
Yeah, the last thing that I think we've all heard was that he went on the IL for exhaustion. I've never heard that term used before for the injured list. Again, I think we've talked about him a few times, and I don't think he's a guy that's ever been right since he got beamed in the head. And I don't know whether he has continual concussion syndrome, whether he just it got in his head from the lack of success he's had this year. I don't think any of us really know, but the end of the day is, you know, he's a guy that's not playing, and probably I'd be surprised if we see him the rest of the season.
Tony Pente, OrielsHangout.com. Tony, last thing for you, getting up here to the major league level. Mike Elias has a big offseason ahead, as we all know. Mike Elias is now a guy that a lot of Orioles fans don't like. In his offseason last year, assembling a starting rotation was brutal. And the Orioles paid the price early in the season for it. But might have to hire a manager. Would you make a case for Tony Manziolino keeping the full-time job? Or is it time to maybe, all right, let's reset, get a whole new dugout crew working, and move on and take advantage of this window that's still open, in my opinion, with the young talent that you have under control?
Yeah, personally, just what I've seen with Manziolino, I don't think they can go move forward him next year. You know, there's some questionable decisions. Just some of the statements he made. I mean, he made the same statement about that he was the low man on Kowser's defense in center field. I just question when you go, did you look at any of the metrics? You know, the metrics tell you he gets good jumps. The metric tells you he's a solid defender out there. I'm not quite sure I understood that. Obviously, you could pick on him for his decision last night of sending Aiken out there, which I thought was ridiculous after he had just did a Houdini act in the eighth. And we've seen it a couple times at a bullpen. And honestly, again, I think the guy's probably a good, solid baseball man, but I think you need a good, solid veteran manager that comes in, has done it before, has won before, and can maybe make a difference with this young talent. Because what we see is a lot of good young talent overall that really has not performed up to what was expected. And at some point, somebody has to take the blame for that. And I'm not saying it's all Manziolino, it's not all in the coaching staff, but at some point, somebody has to take the fall. And that kind of also talks about Elias. He's going to need to, if he gets another offseason, he's definitely going to have to rebuild this team. This starting rotation, as well as that bullpen, is going to need to be reworked. And if last year was any indication, I would have concerns.
Tony Pente, what's happening at OrielsHangout.com?
Well, talking about the Orioles and all their minor leagues, going to our different message boards, go to the minor leagues where we have a board that talks all about the power rankings. You can find out who the top 40 guys you should be following in the minor leagues, as well as about 25 other guys that you should keep an eye on.
Tony, appreciate it as always. Have a great Labor Day weekend. We'll talk to you.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
There's Tony Pente. We'll come back, whip around what happened in the world of sports last night. A couple of things. Orioles history, good, obviously. And there's a lot of college football tonight. We'll come down or run down some of the games. Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, bottom of the hour-ish. Talk about last night's decision to leave Aiken in and looking at the final 5 weeks. Where's the positivity? What are we looking at?
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport, every game, everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send request plus for text line at 410-583-1057. Get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up here in a couple of hours or so. Orioles lineup. Got you covered, everybody. Jackson Holliday leading off at second base. Jeremiah Jackson's in right field. Gunnar Henderson's your shortstop. Ryan Mountcastle cleaning up your DH. Emmanuel Rivera's back. He's at third. Colton Cowser, center field. Kobe Mayer is at first base. Dylan Carlson's in left field. And Ajax, Alex Jackson's behind the dish. So no Beavers and no Basaya against Garrett Crochet, who's 14-5 with a 2.38 earned run average. Cade Povich on the hill for the Birds. He's 2-7 with a 5.13 for the Red Sox. Roman Anthony, they've already extended him. He's got two home runs this series. Bregman's at third. He's at right field, by the way. Story's at short. Gonzalez at first. Refsnyder, DH. Eaton's in center. Navarez is behind the plate. Or Narvaez, excuse me. Rafaela hit the big home run last night. He's at second. And Garcia is in left. Red Sox score for the four-game sweep. Game starts at 1:05. And when we get to it, we'll share you the results or the score because it'll be still going on when we roll out of here at 2 o'clock. Believe it or not, ton of college football tonight. Check your local listings. But a couple of games of interest. There's a ranked team. Boise State, number 25, is at South Florida. That's 5:30 kickoff. Boise State's only 5.5-point favorites. We'll do our picks for the first time this year later in the show, 1:15 to be exact. Ohio's at Rutgers. So, Greg Schiano, another year of, what, mediocrity, more than that?
We'll see. I think they feel like they're going to be better this year, but, I mean, what does that mean?
Are we rowing boats with P.J. Fleck? They host Buffalo today.
Now, I was talking with Mel the other day. Mel thinks they got a chance. You know, I guess their schedule's fairly easy, too, that he thinks they got a chance to be in the playoff.
Nebraska at Cincinnati. We'll do picks on that one later. Minnie Mahomes, second year there with Matt Rhule, and seeing if, you know, Nebraska... You know, again, for youngsters like Nolan over there and Mike, who we're going to meet in a few minutes, you know, when you and I, even before the Tommy Frazier stuff, when they became like just powerhouse, in the 70s, they were always good.
Oh, yeah.
And then in the 80s, they were really good, but always, they could never win the big game. And then in the 90s, they finally, Osborne did. Finally got over the hump. Bottom line is Nebraska was a premier blue blood college football program, and they haven't been that in a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. Bob, Nebraska was like Alabama is now.
Yep.
I mean, Tom Osborne, they were it. You know, I mean, when I was at Iowa State, we played them in 77, 78, 70, you know, all those years, and they were awesome. I mean, that's when they were – for some reason, their linemen were all 320 and were, you know, benching 400 pounds and had no body fat for some reason. And they had all these skilled guys from New Jersey that didn't know where Lincoln was, but they were living in good places, let's say.
And for many, many years.
Yes.
The premier college football game of the season was often Oklahoma, Nebraska.
On Friday. Day after Thanksgiving. Yeah,
and so maybe the greatest college football game ever played, 71, was on Thanksgiving. So that was the rivalry. And, you know, Oklahoma's, you know, they're still them, kind of, sort of, not really.
But I mean, Bob, they were. Yeah. Switzer, you know, was the coach.
The wishbone.
And Thomas Lott and Overstreet.
Yeah, pick a running back. They always had a dude that was really, really
good.
Remember,
they couldn't get over the hump because they couldn't throw the ball. Yeah. You know, they'd get behind.
And they would fumble all the time. But anyway, so Nebraska at Cincy, we'll do that with the picks. And how about old Billy Edwards Jr. in Wisconsin taking on Miami of Ohio tonight?
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, so some Big Ten schools on the football field. It's the Whip Around Video at 81057, the fattest day in Orioles history. Today is the 28th of August, 1983, Memorial Stadium. John Lowenstein went yard. Disco Dan Ford, Eddie Murray both had three ribbies. Mike Flanagan picked up the win. Sammy Stewart the save, 11-4. Orioles on their way to the World Championship. 2012, Nolan's favorite team, the Birds, shut out the White Sox 6-0. Oriole Park Academy. Lou Ford and Adam Jones went deep. Nick Markakis drove in three. Chris Tillman went seven strong to pick up his seventh win. Orioles win 6-0. And then the, seems like only yesterday, but 2 years ago, The Orioles, 101-win Orioles. Shut out the White Sox, 9-0. Anthony Santander, 3-run jack. Ryan McKenna, Ryan O'Hearn, both had two ribbies. Grayson Rodriguez threw one-hit ball for six innings. 9-0 was the final score. This year's Orioles team, well, the kind of the exact opposite of that one. They're in last place. And here to talk about last night's L, looking ahead to the next 5 weeks of the season, Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Fortick. Then we're going to the Funhouse, Dolan McGraw. You want to get in and talk Ravens? We got you covered, man. News from the Nest coming up at noon. You want to join that? We got Buy or Sell coming up at 12:15. We're going to look at the Ravens roster. We got the AL East report coming up at 12:45. We'll do picks. We're going to look at Austin Mock from The Athletic has done win totals projected for every team. We're going to agree or disagree coming up around 12:30.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all got to stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Stick around. They're about to get swept a four-game series, trying to prevent that. They've lost 6-7. Pitching's been okay in this series. Maybe not so much against Houston. And then the offense has gone sleepy time, 2-for-19. Runners in scoring position. Here to make sense of it all, or try to, is an Oriole Hall of Famer. He's our colleague here on Baltimore Baseball Tonight. And he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's Mike Bordick. Bordy, how you feeling today?
Well, I'm pretty good, Bob. How are you still?
I cannot complain, Mike. Hey, like, I got a 4-day weekend coming up. I'm already staring at my watch, Mike Bordick. I'm just joking, not really. But Aiken comes out for the ninth. What is Mike Bordick thinking about that managerial decision with Rico Garcia warming up in the pen?
Oh, man, that was a head scratcher for sure. You know, I could have swore I just witnessed one of his relievers get out of an incredible jam just a short time ago. It might have been just a week and a half ago or so. And very similar, and struck out the side. And Manzolino straight up said, after an inning like that, you can't let him run back out because nothing good can come of it. And sure enough, he did that with Aiken. Now, Aiken's a little bit more of a veteran, but I think he's already proven that that ninth inning, he doesn't like it very well, or at least he doesn't have success right now. I would have said, wow, what you just did was an incredible Houdini act in the eighth inning. Way to go. Sit on that. We'll bring somebody else in because you're supposed to be looking at other arms anyway, and at least find somebody that can, you know, sack up and close a game out. Aiken doesn't want to be in that position, and he did his job in the eighth. I hope we're not screwing Aiken up doing this, thinking that, well, he's the only arm we can trust out there. And in turn, you're kind of hurting the guy. You know, his earned run average is ballooning, plus his self-confidence. You're kind of sticking a dagger in that as well. Sure, he seems like an unflappable guy, but my gosh, this isn't going to bode well for him or his career, I don't think. So I don't think that was a smart decision.
All right, let's get to – we were talking yesterday on BBT, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services, Mike, about Sammy Basayo around the first base bag, nimble enough. Certainly looks like he could be capable of making it happen if, in fact, that's where he's going to wind up. But behind the plate, made two really good throws yesterday. One was originally ruled as a caught stealing, overturned, and rightfully so, the guy was safe. Mm-hmm. And then he nailed a Hamilton second time around. So very, very small sample size. What do you see from a Basayo behind the dish? He's a big imposing target to throw to as well.
Yeah, he sure is. Yeah, that's a big man back there, or a big kid, I should say. Very impressed with the arm strength. Wow, that was a couple lasers down there. And sometimes with big bodies, it takes a little bit longer. So obviously his feet work really, really well. If you want to be a good throwing catcher, your feet better be underneath you. So he gets his feet under him really nice. So that all looks good. You know, there are other things that, you know, a couple balls, maybe the blocking. Listen, I think his lack of experience behind the plate is his only you know, flaw. He just needs more time, and hopefully he can continue to catch this month. I just hope the Orioles don't put so much stock in him as being their guy. I hope they continue to promote that Adley is definitely the number one catcher, and, you know, that Basayo will continue to learn, and he'll play more first base. So that's my only hope. But right now I think he looks pretty darn good back there. It'd be nice if he could flip in a few more hits, man, to get that confidence going, because you can tell he's pressing a little bit too.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, our colleague, BBT, joins us every Thursday. 105.7 The Fan, Benny and Haney. Another thing we talked about yesterday, for those who may not have listened to BBT, and if you didn't, what the hell were you thinking? I mean, we're on at 5:30. But Jackson Holliday at the leadoff spot. He's there again today. And Tony Manzolino kind of boxed himself in a corner a couple of months ago. He's going to be our leadoff hitter for the next 5 years. And then even one step further, hey, he's going to be one of the three best or five best players in baseball in the next whatever. Like, okay, I like the positivity, but Holliday's below the Mendoza line here in August. And he's leading off again, as we said. Have fun with Garrett Crochet today, but that's the entire lineup. But what are we doing here, Mike, if the struggles continue a little bit? He did double last night, to his credit.
Yeah, thank goodness he did. He needs those hits, man. You can tell this is kind of
weighing on him. Oh, no, he didn't. He went over. My bad. Sorry about that.
Well, that's right. He did go over. Yeah, Jackson, the other Jackson.
He hit the ball hard.
Yeah, he did. He lined it.
Yeah,
right.
He hit it hard, which is a positive. Yeah.
So, we talked about it last night, and I do think we did win an award for last night's show, so I hope everybody did tune in. Holliday is a head scratcher right now, and I think they kind of put themselves in a corner. Obviously, Manzolino did with, you know, what he had talked about a few months ago, and it might have kind of cursed Holliday a little bit because, yeah, his bat just isn't playing as well. The at-bats look like he's struggling a little bit in between, and it might be fatigue at the end of the season. We talked last night. Well, you can. You know, break it to him easy, man. We want to give you a little breather, man. We'll move you down to the 6 or 7 hole. You might have more RBI opportunities. You know, you can get one less at bat maybe per night. And I think that might go a long way for him just to reestablish some confidence offensively. If he goes through this whole month of September and he just can't find a swing, man, is it going to be a rough offseason? I want this kid to go off happy and think, man, I really had a successful first year under my belt. I made a lot of improvements because I genuinely feel like he has. It's a hard, long season, and you learn a lot about yourself. But I also think that Manzolino could take the step forward and, you know, give him a little bit of a breather down there. It's not easy leading off big league games every night and then having your fifth at bat come around after you got a couple punch-ups and you hit into tough luck night after night. And this has been going on, right, this whole month. So it has been a struggle for him.
Hey, Bordy, I got a fundamental question for you. Because you guys were talking about Basayo and his throws to second base. That's my fundamental question because the one was safe and the one was out. And Gunner, you know, he caught the ball towards the back of the bag so he could tag there where Holliday catches the ball in front of the bag and then he slides in. Is that – What's the correct way to do it, Bordy?
Well, I'll tell you the correct way to do it, and this is so not what anybody does right now, and it's to straddle the dang base and let the baseball travel so you can catch the ball on the base. Everybody is taught to take the throw in front of the base now so that it's easier to make the throw up the line because, believe it or not, catchers are taught in some instances to actually throw the ball up the line thinking that it's going to be quicker to get to the base runner. Either way you do it, you have to let the ball travel. You cannot go out and get the ball and expect that you're...
That's what Holliday did, right? Where Gunner didn't.
Exactly. Gunner's pretty good about letting that ball travel and has an understanding about where he's got to put that tag on. I still think he should straddle the base as well. It would be a lot easier on these guys. I think, unfortunately, everybody wants to avoid contact, and that might be the issue there. But, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can't catch the ball in front of the base and expect to swipe that tag back and beat that runner.
I stand corrected on Holiday being below the Mendoza line. He's way below the Mendoza line. He's coming in for the month of August, which has, what, a couple of days left? It's at .146, Mike.
Oof-ta.
For the month.
Yeah.
Oh, two slugging right. percent. .146 is great if you're trying to make weight for the welterweight championship fight on Saturday night. But when you're leading off for the Orioles, it's not an ideal situation to be in. But we don't want to end this segment on a bummer. So, Mike Bordick, we appreciate the time. What's that Baltimore baseball podcast looking like with you and Jerry Coleman?
Oh, it's looking really good. As a matter of fact, you know, the Jackson we just spoke of, Jeremiah Jackson, was our latest guest, man. And just another super nice guy. Great opportunity for him to possibly, you know, earn a spot as the utility player next season, obviously, with the loss of Urias. So, yeah, it was a fun conversation with him. And it was nice to see him get that double down the left field line. He got the bat head out in front of it. One more positive note, though, to add to Holiday. I think this month he's actually walked more than he ever has. So this is what happens with young players. He's a little in between in that regard because you know he's heard our buzz about, my gosh, how can he be a leadoff hitter with just a 300 on base percentage? So he's trying to walk, but he's losing that aggressiveness, and he's a little in between. Thanks for letting me share that, you guys, and have a great afternoon.
Hey, have a great Labor Day weekend, Mike. See you
all
next
right,
week.
Morning. Take care,
all
man.
All right, see you guys.
There's Mike Bordick, everybody, Oriole Hall of Famer. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Stick around. You don't want to miss it. News from the Nats coming up top of the hour. You want to hear from Eric DaCosta? Gotcha. You want to hear from John Harbaugh? Gotcha covered there. How about Kyle Hamilton, the new $100 million man for the Ravens? Going to hear from him as well, buy or sell. Hopefully, we're counting our own money at that point in time. And we're going to get into these win projections from The Athletic. Austin Mock, he does treat the Ravens kind, but you know, I'm thinking over and maybe a lot over. Vinny Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Nolan, how you feeling over there? Speaking of which.
Feeling good. Feeling great. Except for the Orioles loss. But you know what? What can you do about that?
Questionable managerial decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to put it lightly, I guess. But I couldn't help but think last night as that was all unfolding about all the numerous texts and calls we've gotten over the last couple years about manager decisions when it comes to the bullpen and everyone calling for, well, when a guy's doing good or a guy gets out of an inning, just leave him in there. The more changes you make, the more likely someone is to screw up. Well, there you go. They didn't make a change last night. Keegan Aiken comes back up and he screws up.
Yeah.
So it's not as easy as it looks to make these bullpen decisions. And I said a little while ago, when it comes to the pool of players that Mancino is actually picking from out there, I don't envy him at all. And in a lot of ways, none of these guys have roles, so he can almost just put a blindfold on and throw a dart at a board and whatever name it lands on, just roll with them because there really isn't any concrete stud guys to be a closer.
No doubt, and I feel his pain to some level. But wasn't Rico Garcia, to Mike Bordick's point, wasn't he the guy that got out of the bases loaded, nobody out, jammed with the Ks?
Yep.
And then they didn't bring him back for the next. And then Geraldo blew the save.
Mm-hmm. So it's both sides of it.
And then there's Rico warming up after Aiken did the Fred Astaire out of the eighth inning jam.
Mm-hmm.
So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Exactly.
Oh, by the way, 2-for-19 with runners in scoring position in the series. That kind of affects things. And, hey, Bayo was taking them bats and doing nasty things to him last night for Boston.
Right. And that, you know, it's not going to get any easier today when you're going up against Crochet. The fact that they've only faced him one other time this year, they should consider themselves lucky, you know, that they didn't run into him at any other point. So they got him for, I guess, the first start of the year and now the last start of the year. So this is it.
Or, and I think I stumped for this, not loudly, but a little bit, maybe they could have tried to trade for him last off.
Did you say that?
I think I did.
I don't think I've ever heard you mention
You're
that.
Lying. I know you were all about Pavetta.
Oh,
who
man.
Went
oh,
to
Bob,
San Diego.
I went to bed at night dreaming. All yeah. Haney talks about
yeah.
is Crochet.
You thought you had a new towel coming as many times as I said Crochet. But Pavetta, I was kind of not on the Jesus Luzardo go get him bandwagon. Because they traded, or Philly did, and he's had a good year. I think he's been getting roughed up a little bit. But the point is not to beat a dead horse into a bigger pile of dust than it already is. But, you know.
Well, I actually hadn't checked in on Pavetta's numbers until now.
Yeah.
And I wish I didn't, because the ERA, 2.82.
Hello.
13-4.
Yeah.
I would have been happy if he just pitched to around what he's did the last couple of years.
And he signed for like $6 million. It wasn't like a crazy...
Late in spring training,
yeah,
too. This wasn't a winter meetings deal. This was available after Grayson went down.
And the Orioles won it, got Morton early.
Yeah.
They get him, and then Sagano came in, and then and Grayson's arm fell off. And they are where they are.
Huh? Maybe they get Pivetta next year. Because it was just a one-year deal.
Yeah, you think you'd get him for $6, $8 million this time around? Who's sitting over there with you there, Nolan McGraw? Guy's going to be joining us because you're off next week.
Right.
And I'm off tomorrow. We'll get into that later in the show. But we got Mike Pope over there.
Right.
The University of Kentucky head coach, you know? That's Mark Pope. My bad.
Close enough.
But tell us about Mike Pope real quick.
No, Michael's here. He's learning. He's doing a great job. He'll be in for me next week. He'll be capable. He'll be ready to go. He does a lot of work here on the weekends. Produces for Mike Popovic on Saturdays.
Okay.
So he'll be ready to rock.
No doubt about it. What do you think of Maryland football? What did you think of Jim Smith, our debut with him?
Nice introduction. Mm-hmm. I loved what he had to say. All business. He knows what it's about. It's about winning. You know, you can call for people to come to the stadium. You can roll out fancy promotions all you want, but at the end of the day, winning is what's going to bring the fans back. I thought I loved what he had to say.
You might have to go full on Cleveland Indians 1974. $5 tickets, nickel beer.
Well, that could get dangerous. College
and,
kids?
And free bats.
Well, Bob.
Make it bat day.
Bob, he was the one who's been with the Falcons, and their hot dog, like their food
That's right.
Yeah.
Their food is real cheap down there and stuff.
Yeah, well, right now, let's be honest, doesn't matter how much the food costs at CQ Stadium.
We need some Jimmies and some Joes.
Yeah, there's nobody in the stands to enjoy those free dogs.
Now, they also put a Chick-fil-A in that stadium. Now, I understand they hold other events there that aren't NFL, but
on
a majority,
Sundays,
yeah, you're
Sundays
closed on Sunday.
Open, yeah.
What good is that for an NFL team?
Well, they still packed that house.
We'll ask him next week.
Yeah, next week.
What's going on there?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we got time for Funhouse. What do you want to do here?
Hold off for now.
Let's get to top of the hour. News from the Nest. We're going to hear from Kyle Hamilton. Congratulations to him, Eric DaCosta, and John Harbaugh as we get ready for the Ravens season. NFL season starts a week from tonight. Yes, a week from tonight, NFL, Dallas at Philly, take the Eagles laying the 7. And we'll get in all of that good stuff. We got buy or sell. Then we're going to look at these win projections for the AFC as put together by the Athletic, Austin Mock, to be exact. It will agree or disagree. We will do our official season predictions for the NFL next week. And then coming up later on in the program, 1:15, we'll do our picks, first one of the year. It's all college because there's no NFL, but plenty of games to choose from. Booze is on the line.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.